Let's make today the day you get one step closer to becoming the parent you've always wanted to be and the parent your children deserve. Hi, and welcome to Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. I am your host, Erin Taylor, and I have wanted to help parents and children literally since I was 11 years old. I created this podcast to help you make a stronger, healthier, deeper connection to your child, to understand the inevitable challenges a little better, and learn some new ways to navigate them when they occur. Thank you for spending some time with me. Now let's get this show started. Hello and welcome to episode 613. Later today, we will be moving my college son back to college. He will be returning for his sophomore year. For those of you who remember us moving him to school last year as a freshman. So this is year number two, and I've been thinking about how I will handle him moving again. And this year definitely feels different. Last year was the first time I would send one of my kids off to college. So it was a whole new experience. And I remember last year feeling very unsettled and just feeling very unsettled for maybe 2 months. I just kind of kept thinking there's something left undone. There's just dangling threads. I mean, I couldn't put my finger on how what I was feeling or why. And I knew it had to do with him, but I couldn't really figure it out. And then we took a trip to Boston for the weekend, the four of us, minus my college son. And that kind of really reset me. It was odd, but it was really great. Just going away and having family time with the four of us really helped to kind of put me back together, so to speak. And then, you know, we saw my older son, my college son, every month or two, I would say. And then when his volleyball season came up last winter, late winter, early spring, we got to watch. We weren't able to go to his games because of COVID, but we got to watch the live streams. So I got to lay eyes on my child 1 to 2 times a week for quite a few weeks, and it felt really good. It was so nice to see him, to see his face, to see his body, you know, just to see him on the television screen and just to know, oh, he still looks good. He looks well, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I was really grateful for that. Now we're getting ready to return for his sophomore year. COVID is still lingering around, as you know. And last year they had to wear in his school they had to wear masks indoors and outdoors everywhere on campus except in their actual dorm room. And then they eased the mask restrictions or requirements. I guess I don't know if it was as the school year was wrapping up or in the summer. I don't really remember, but it looked like there were going to be no masks, just like everywhere. You know, many places eased their mask requirements. And then earlier this month, they sent out an email saying masks in all buildings on campus. So at least they can walk around outside without masks, which I think is relatively safe unless you're in a big crowd, or it seems to be that way anyway. And they're going to have to wear masks in the building. So I think that's probably a good compromise to try to keep the kids safe. I was looking at their COVID stat sheet on their website, and They have somewhere around, I think, 76% of students and staff are fully vaccinated. So that seems like a pretty good number to me. And I have a feeling as this week goes on, it will get higher because the exemption was you have to get tested X number of times per week if you're not vaccinated. So I have a feeling that number might continue to rise as people get tired of being tested constantly. But who knows? Maybe, maybe not. But I think 76% is a really good number of vaccinated people to start the school year with. And hopefully that will that will help to ensure that they get to have a school year. But they had an entire school year last year. Somehow they kept case numbers low enough that they never decided to send the kids home, which I was really grateful for, and so was he. So that's the story there. This month, I've also been taking my daughter, my 16-year-old daughter, on some college visits because we're beginning that process with her too. And it's very interesting how different it is with the different kids. My son knew he wanted to play volleyball in college, which took out about 90% of the schools right off the bat. And then we were just left with the schools that had a men's volleyball program that were, you know, relatively not too far away. So that made the school choosing much easier, I would say, with him. My daughter has anything under the sun. She'll play volleyball at the varsity level. She'll play club. She'll play intramural. She won't play at all. She has no idea about that. She's not entirely sure what she wants her major to be. My son at least knew that he wanted to be a business major. My daughter, she's not sure if she wants to live in an urban school in a big city or go to an urban school in a big city, or if she wants to be in the mountains or in some kind of suburban setting. She doesn't know if she wants a big school, a small school, who knows. So everything, every college qualifies or doesn't qualify. So this is an interesting process. We went to one school that isn't currently doing in-person tours, but they do a self-guided one with an app on your phone. So we started with that, and it's a bigger school near us. And we both didn't really get a good feeling for the school, for her at the school. I mean, the school is a good school, but it didn't seem like a good fit for her, and we both felt that way. It's really big, and I think she would not enjoy trying to navigate all over the campus. And I think that would be more stressful than fun for her. So we both nixed that one right off the bat. Then we went to a couple other ones. And at one of the ones that we did, that they were having tours, there was a point along the tour where my eyes teared up. Like my eyes welled up with tears at the thought of her being at that school. It felt so right. It felt so normal. It felt so comfortable. And so far, that's the school she likes the most as well. So that's kind of exciting. We have a few more scheduled. I'm trying to help her pick like a school in a big city, a school in a remote, rural, mountainous area, a school in a suburban area, so she can really get a feel for which kind of setting feels right to her. And so we'll see how that goes. But we've had many, many wonderful talks in the car. I remember that with my older son, we went to maybe 3 or 4 schools total. And getting to spend the day with him, going on a visit, driving there, doing the visit, driving home, talking about the school, those were precious days that we spent together that I will always treasure, because it was absolute one-on-one time, just him and I in the car, hanging out together, no interruptions, no distractions. It was precious. And now I'm getting that same precious opportunity with my daughter, and I absolutely love it. So if you have a an older teen who is going through, who's wanting to go through this process of college searching, there are some hidden gems to be found in the process. And I, for one, have really enjoyed them. But as you know, college is not the only track for a kid. I was thinking about this as I was getting set to record this episode, and I know a mom in my circle, my community, who her son was a freshman last year. And by October, she was already telling me he was floundering. He was having a hard time. He has some learning challenges. And she was encouraging him to go to the student help center. And he wasn't doing it. And it was causing tension between them. He was failing his classes. It was not good. He nosedived fall semester of freshman year. And she was talking to me, like, trying to figure out how to navigate this situation with him, how to handle it, what to do. And she and her husband very consciously decided to let their son know that if he came back, that they really thought he needed to seek the, you know, educational assistance at school. But if he came back for Christmas break at the end of the semester and he was still failing his classes, they were not going to allow him to return to campus, and he would have to come up with an alternative plan. And so that seemed very reasonable to me, a very fair and conscious approach. When he came home for Christmas break, he had failed his classes, and he decided, after some soul searching, he decided that he wanted to join the military. And so he left for basic training, I think in January, and he completed basic training, and then he went on to some high, you know, next level kind of training, and he got that training or certification or whatever it is. And she showed me pictures when there was like a family day where they got to go see him. And then there was a point at which he was able to come home for the weekend, one weekend. And all of the pictures, the entire family, the siblings, the young man, his parents, everybody looked so happy. And this young man looked really happy. I could tell, I get goosebumps thinking about it. I could tell from the photos that this young man had found his path. He was in his element. He was confident. He was happy. He was motivated. She would tell me that he was so motivated. He would do extra work. He was always on time. He was always early to whatever he had to be at. It was truly a metamorphosis, a transformation for this boy. So when our kids are on a path that is not right for them, they flounder. They might flounder, or they just might not be happy. This kid was lit up in these photos. I could tell. I could just see it, let alone how she was describing him. And then the tension between them and the worry that the parents were feeling, it all shifted. It dissolved and it metamorphosized into pride. They're so proud of their son. They're so relieved to see him happy. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then I have another friend whose son chose not to go to college from the beginning and instead decided to go into the trade field. And he just started his first full-time job in his trade after high school. And it's fantastic. And he has found his path. He has found his niche in the world. And it's such a beautiful thing. And so, you know, I think that this episode speaks to parents whose kids are older, but I hope it also speaks to you parents whose kids are younger, because we might have an idea of what we want to see for our kids or what we think is right for them, But we may be right or we may be wrong, and there's no way to tell. But what's the most important thing, I believe, is that our kids find what they're meant to do, what they came to this planet to do, and then support them in doing that. Support them in figuring that out, and then support them in going after whatever it is that they need in order to be able to do the thing that they want to do. So I hope that, you know, if you have younger kids and you're listening to this, that you'll really put on clear lenses and see your child. Take a look at them. Actually see them for who it is they are. Not who you want them to be, not who you think they will become, but who it is they truly are. What is their personality? What are their passions and interests? What strong abilities do they have? And where do those things intersect? What kinds of industry, what kinds of fields do those things intersect? That's kind of a very general way of looking at raising your kids. And, you know, if you try to drive the bus for your kids and you decide how their lives are going to unfold, they may work to please you to have their lives unfold the way you're trying to make it happen, but that's not necessarily going to bring them fulfillment and joy in their lives. It really has to come from them. So I hope this gives you some kind of idea as you are interacting with and raising your kiddos at home. And the other thing I wanted to say is I have been adding, as you may know from listening to these episodes, I've been doing more interviews with different guests. And I've really been enjoying meeting these different people. I have a really cool interview coming up in about 3 weeks with a man who has this program that is utterly fascinating. And I cannot wait to share his story with you. So stay tuned for that. He will be episode 616 coming up shortly. But please give me some feedback. Let me know what you're thinking of these episodes. Let me know if you want to hear more interviews with people. Let me know if you know of anyone you would like me to interview or what you would like to see moving forward, because we are at episode 613. I have been enjoying doing this podcast for you for the last few years. I intend to keep going. And if I can meet your needs and wishes as a loyal listener, I would love to do it. And speaking of loyal listeners, if you haven't yet left a review on iTunes, please do so, because your reviews help people to find my podcast. So that is today's episode. I hope that wherever you are, you make it a very clear seeing day for yourself. That wraps up this episode of Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. If you know anyone who could benefit from this episode or this podcast in general, please share it with them. Also, I always love hearing feedback from my listeners. I welcome you to send me an email to erin@erin-taylor.com if you have any comments or questions that come up for you in an episode. Our children are our future. Parenting them is the most sacred task we will ever be asked to do. It truly does take a village to raise a child. Let's help each other to raise our children to be who it is they are meant to be. If at any point you feel like you need a little extra help and support, reach out to me. I am here to help you.